In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We are reaching the end of our Lenten penitential season and are in the midst of Holy Week. This evening begins what is called the Triduum, the last 3 days of waiting, ending in the great vigil of Easter on Holy Saturday. Tonight is the celebration of the Last Supper, when Christ instituted the first Eucharist, the central and most holy part of our worship. Thus, the Holy Eucharist service, or Mass, as it is sometimes called, is celebrated in Christian churches to this day, though with various interpretations as to what is really happening during the consecration. The word Mass is associated with the Catholic Church and thus has fallen into disrepute in most Protestant denominations. However, it has a simple, innocuous origin. It is from the Latin word Missa, which merely means sent, the past participle of the verb to send. The last words of the Latin Mass are ite, missa est, a form of dismissal of the congregation, meaning go, it is sent. We've never really known what is really being sent. All we know from the words is that whatever is referred to is a noun in the feminine gender, as the ending of Missa tells us. In any event, with his apostles, his chosen followers, Jesus shared a simple Passover meal in a private room, probably above a tavern. It is in this room that he reveals that one of his friends will betray him. Judas leaves to report to the religious authorities where Jesus will be so that they can arrest him easily. Jesus makes clear that he is aware of this, and thus begins his suffering that leads to his death on the cross. This evening is called, in our tradition and many others, Maundy Thursday. It has many names by which it is called inconsistently depending on the region where it is being celebrated. There are two explanations for the origin of the word Maundy. The most held one is that it comes from the Latin version of John chapter 13, verse 34. Mandatum novum dom vobis, a new commandment I give to you. From mandatum is derived mandate and the root word of commandment. It is also called Holy Thursday, Green Thursday, or Gründonnerstag, referring to a green branch given to penitents who had successfully survived the rigors of Lent. And also Sheer Thursday, sheer in the archaic meaning of clean, referring to the ceremony of scrubbing the altar clean, a traditional part of the stripping of the altar. In some traditions, on the morning of this day, chrisms were blessed to anoint new Christians on Easter Eve. The Triduum really begins with this evening's service. There are so many customs related to this day that it would be impossible to cite all of them. As a child in my first parish in the Roman Catholic faith, it included the custom of visiting various churches on this day. At each church, the Blessed Sacrament was exposed on the altar in this giant gold vessel called a monstrance. It is called the altar in repose. One would go from church to church and pray before the body of Christ as represented in the host thus exposed. My godmother, whom I call Sasha, my babyhood version of Ma Tante Suzanne, was not the most religious of women. However, she fulfilled her spiritual duty to me once a year by being the one who always brought me on this Holy Thursday pilgrimage. We would visit all the Catholic churches in the area. Once she even brought me to Christ Church Episcopal in Fitchburg, my hometown, my first visit to an Episcopal church. She warned me very sternly not to mention it to the nuns who taught us at École Immaculée Conception that I had actually set foot in an Église Protestante. A version of this custom of praying in the church during the day or evening after the Maundy Thursday service has actually occurred here at Grace in the past at various times as rectors came and went. This evening's service has three components, all of which take place here at Grace. The first component, after the Liturgy of the Word, is the washing of the feet. Its origin, of course, is when Jesus washed the feet of the 12 apostles. In the English tradition, the feet of 12 poor men were washed by the reigning king or queen in a chosen church each year. In other churches by the pastor. Later, a gift of money was given to these 12 men by the sovereign. They were called mendicants. The word mendicants in this version of the tradition is the less likely origin of the word maundy. This act exemplifies Jesus' new commandment to love one another as he has loved us. It is this act that symbolizes the concept of the servant leader, a concept that guides my own ministry here at Grace. Churches that install vergers give them roles that vary from church to church, from just being ceremonial ushers leading other ministers to the place where they will fulfill their duties, to more active roles as masters of ceremony. The idea of servant leader governs my approach to my own ministry. Here at Grace, my role is to help the clergy and the lay ministers with the various components that make the liturgy happen. I train lay ministers and help them, try to make it easier for them to exercise their ministries, and instill in them that they are not only here to lead the congregation in worship, but they are also the servants of their parish family, the clergy, and the other lay ministers. I particularly emphasize this with our youth as they advance to lead acolytes or to verger's assistants, as well as acolytes and other lay ministers who take on more than one role. No minister is here to lord it over the others whom they are leading, but they are to do it as a servant to them. The second component of this service is the celebration of the institution of the Holy Eucharist. Almost all denominations of Christianity, from the highest to the lowest forms of worship, share communion on this day. As a child, the good daughters of the Holy Ghost, or Les Filles de Saint-Esprit, taught us the reverence due to Holy Communion. When I became older and felt that I would be rejected by the church because of the nature to which I was born, I ceased going to church, feeling that it would be hypocritical to do so. My life partner and husband, Bob, came from a family who were nominally Episcopalian. But he had had no religious training of any kind in his childhood. At the college he attended, the chapel was under the auspices of the Episcopal Church. He felt a need to have a spiritual life, sought the knowledge that he had been inadvertently deprived of as a child, and was ultimately baptized and confirmed. At some time after moving here to New Bedford, he began to attend services here at Grace Church. Eventually, I took courage and accompanied him here one Sunday. I cannot express the deep feelings I had as the procession began to surround us, drawing us to the altar. As the time for communion approached, I grew tense. Was I worthy to receive communion? The bidding came. The celebrant said, "Whoever you are, wherever you are on your journey of faith, come to the holy table and receive the supper of the Lamb." I went to this rail with the person that I loved above all others, and for the first time in over 30 years, I tearfully received the body of Christ. At the end of the service, several friends of ours who were also in attendance came up to me and hugged me, and I felt as though I had finally come home. Now we come to the third component of this special service, the sad and emotional stripping of the altar. All the liturgical accoutrements are removed from the sanctuary in preparation for Good Friday, the day we contemplate Christ's pain and sacrifice for our salvation. It is a day of mourning. But just as the bulbs in the garden in front of our church have pushed through the ground and blossomed, alive again for another season, it is a mourning with hope for a glorious dawning of a new life to come, and in reconciliation with our Lord and God. Amen.